Exodus chapter 35. I'd like you to turn there. We're going to read some of the opening verses, and then we'll do another little portion toward the end. Exodus chapter 35, please. And the words of verse 1. Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, "These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day." Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. And every wise hearted among you shall come, and make all that the Lord hath commanded." And then just drop down to the words of verse 20. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, and as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." Amen. Just ending there at the end of verse 29. We know the Lord will bless those readings to your heart. Everything that we are and everything that we have belongs unto God. The Lord has entrusted us with His blessings, and we are to be good stewards over them. We didn't bring anything into this world. And men and women, what we obtain between our arrival and our departure ought not to be looked upon as ours, but we're just handling things for the owner, who is God. The New Testament reminds us that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And on that account, we are to glorify God, both in our spirit and in our body. It was Paul who wrote to the church at Corinth these words, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And that begs us to ask the question, even to our own hearts tonight, how are we doing? Are we disciplined stewards for our owner? Or are we attempting to usurp authority and to serve ourselves? We ought to have a desire to be faithful stewards for His glory and for His honor. And when the children of Israel left Egypt, they did so only with what had been given to them. And now they were being called upon to give it up to the Lord, what was already His. And how they responded to the command and the willingness that is on display here, it all creates a pattern for God's people in how to be good stewards. You'll note that before there's any entering into anything of the detail, that Moses explains what the Lord had commanded. You'll see it both in verse 1 and in verse 4, for it says, Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded. Again, verse 4, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. And there are two particular areas of stewardship that required a response on their part. The first of it, which has to do with the Sabbath. And you'll notice that in the words of verse 2 and 3. Now, they already knew what the Lord commanded about the Lord's day, about the Sabbath day. They had already received the tablets of stones. We looked at that the last time. Moses was commanded to go up into the mount again with two tables. And God wrote the words, the same words as in the first occasion. And part of that, of course, was remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. They already knew. But here, you will notice it is spoken of in terms of stewardship. They were told that any who worketh on the Sabbath will be punished with death. And in the other command to prevent any work in a private context as well as in the public setting, the lighting of a fire in their dwellings was forbidden. How far removed that is from today's society. That's something, as I said to you in recent days, that has come very much to view in my eyes. But the central truth was that the Sabbath, verse 2, was a day of rest to the Lord. The Sabbath had been entrusted to the nation. They were to be good stewards of it. And men and women, the Sabbath belongs unto the Lord Himself. It is the Lord's Day, as we read about in the book of the Revelation. It is the Christian Sabbath. He is the owner. It is His day, and therefore His people are expected to honor and to be faithful to Him in being stewards of that day. You see, that prepared the way for the second part, where the stewardship also regarded the sanctuary. The offering needed for the tabernacle was given again through Moses. I turn you back to Exodus chapter 25. Just read with me verse 2. And again it says, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And what follows are the needed materials for that sanctuary, for that tabernacle. And then the purpose of it is noted in verse 8 of that same chapter. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The offering was to be to Him, and the sanctuary was for Him. The Lord of the Sabbath was also Lord of the sanctuary. And so when you come to our chapter 35 and verse 4 and 5, you will see that the offering was unto the Lord. It was all to Him. It was for Him. And so if a nation would honor the Lord and be faithful stewards of His day, then they would also be faithful stewards when it came to the offerings needed for the tabernacle. Dear people, if Christ is Lord of our lives, then He is to be Lord over our giving as well. And that's not just monetary terms. It's like we've been singing, all to Jesus I surrender. Now remember, He's the owner of it all. I want you just to come with me in this. You'll notice here, first of all, the directive. The nation of Israel were not only told to give, but they were also told what and why to give. They were given specific directives for the offerings to be made unto the Lord. There were the things that were to be brought. The metals that were needed is found in verse 5. You'll see mention made there of the gold and the brass and the silver. Also the material gifts that was needed as well for both the inner and the outer coverings, verse 6 and 7. And then there are also the other items that were required. They're mentioned in verses 8 and 9. And the question might be asked, where would the people get these materials? Where did the people get these metals and these items that was needed for the furniture and the lovely coverings within the tabernacle? And the answer is that the items were already in the tents of the children of Israel. I reference you to Exodus chapter 12. I briefly made mention of this in the introduction, verse 36. It simply says, "And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians." And that's referring to the night of the Passover. The Egyptians were glad to see the back of them. They loaded them with all that was required. They spoiled the Egyptians. They willingly gave the goods to them. And they're in their tents. The Lord didn't require what wasn't available. Nothing was commanded of them from the Lord what they couldn't give. If it had been the case, we could say, well, you know, that was a bit unfair. But that wasn't the case, never is the case. Likewise, the Lord will not put upon us what we cannot bear. Before we are aware of the plan, God is aware of the provisions. Before we know what the requirements are, God is familiar with the resources. The things that were to be brought. Then there were also directive in what must be built. Wouldn't just be automatically coming together of itself. There had to be a construction. There had to be time and effort spent on their part. But it was promised that the needed workers would also be raised up. Verse 10, we read it. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The edifice of the tabernacle is mentioned in verse 11. And then there are the essentials. The various pieces of furniture would have to be made. Verses 12 through 16. And then following that, there's the finishings. The beautiful curtains. The garments for the high priest and those that followed him. The supply was provided before the offerings were asked for. And God already had the design. He already had the blueprint read out. And he already had the workers in mind for each assignment. I don't know about you, but I take that as a wonderful encouragement. What an encouragement that is for us when it concerns the work of God. It's his work. And he can supply the workers with the essential gifts and talents for each assignment and piece of work that needs to be undertaken. He'll not ask of us something that's not already here. He didn't with the nation of Israel. And surely it proves the words of the apostle that he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the words of verse 8. He said, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." How many alls within that one verse? Can I ask you a very practical question? I wonder, is God directing you to come forward and do something? We need workers. You know, I scarcely have to pinch myself that I've just said that in such a large congregation. But the same is the case in weather, whatever size of congregation it is. Workers are needed. We need men. We need men to sit on the bus for the Bible school. Simple. Not asking to come in front of the children and tell a story. Just sit among them in the bus. Is the Lord directing you to give an hour? We need ladies for the Sunday school. We need teachers. There's need in the day school. Is the Lord directing you? Not putting it onto, well, you know, they could do it. You see, I said to you before, God will not ask us of something that's not already here. But here's the problem. Are we willing? Are we willing to be good stewards? Not only is there the directive, but secondly, I want you to show the collectiveness. Having delivered unto the people the requirements from God for both the Sabbath and the sanctuary, we read in verse 20 that the people departed. They had heard all that Moses had said, what God had said through Moses, I should say, what God had commanded of them, what they were to bring, what they were to build, and we read that they departed from Moses. Where did they go? They went back to their tents. And they went back to the tents to search for what was needed. What follows is an encouraging report in the words of verse 21. Just look at this here. It says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. For these words reveal that they were all involved. Just in case you don't see the collective aspect of verse 21, well, it is developed for us in verse 22 because it says there, and they came both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. Both men and women. Indeed, if you look at verse 22, 23, 24, you will see in those three successive verses, the little phrase, every man. Every man is used. Verse 22, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Verse 23, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet. Verse 24, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. Every man. Verse 25 and 26, the phrase is now all the women. In verse 29, we're brought back to the general description, every man and woman. And so what do we learn from this project is that it is uniting the common people together. And once they brought their offerings, then those who ruled over them also were to contribute, as is mentioned in the words of verse 27. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set, etc. And verse 28, it was the rulers that brought that. And surely the lesson, men and women, is that through giving, God brings all his people into a more intimate fellowship with himself, but also with one another. Verse 21 again, they came, everyone whose heart stirred them up, everyone whom a spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering. But you know, there's also another application or implication. That is because God gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as an offering for sin. Then all believers are now spiritually united through him. We read that in Galatians chapter 3 and the words of verse 28. And it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. God gave us Son. As a result, all in Christ are one. All the provisions here were also included. Everything that was required by God was brought by the people. Indeed, you want to take time when you go home, you can look over this. Every item that we have read in verse 5 to 9 is now again mentioned as an offering submitted unto the Lord in verses 22 to 28. Every item. by one bringing their offering and another their offering something else, then soon by the collective responsibility, the offering was complete. The requirements were met. There was an effort made, verse 25 indicates, that the skills that had to be employed in the making of the garments and coverings, you see, for all the women that were wise hearted that spin with their hands, brought that which they had spun, both a blue and purple, scarlet and a fine linen. The materials were provided, but there was a job of work still to be done in preparing them for the offering. Don't we realize that God will supply the need, and one person doesn't have to carry the entire burden? And yes, some kinds of work are suitable only for the men. Preaching and teaching is in the pulpit is an obvious example of that. But there are some kinds of work is only applicable to the women. The aged women are to teach the younger. There's another example. We see the body is not one member, but many. But collectively, each member does what they can. Some may have to make more preparations for their offering than others, but it's all in God's way, and it is in God's time, for ultimately, He will provide. It's like our brother Robert said on Sunday, don't forget the Sunday school teacher has to sit down and prepare the little lesson for the boys and girls. And for a Sunday school teacher, it may take them a short time. For another teacher, it may take them a longer time. It's the same with preachers. Before we leave these verses, it is important to note the context in which the offerings were made. You see, for it deals with the heart. There was a willingness on their part. They weren't forced to do this. They weren't coerced to give. Look at the words of verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Look at verse 21. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, every one whose spirit made willing. Verse 22, they came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted. It says their hearts were stirred. Verse 21, we read it. Look at verse 26. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Look at chapter 36, verse 2. And Moses called Bezalel and Holab, and every wise hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred them up to come unto the work to do it. Their hearts were made willing. Their hearts were stirred up. You see, we have to underline that because we already know the sort of people we're dealing with here. We've already looked at chapters previous to this. We've already saw there how they rebelled against Moses and Aaron, how they rebelled against the Lord, how they were complainers. We already know that they were a stubborn people. And so this willingness now can only be attributed, and it can only be seen as evidence that their giving was supernaturally produced in their lives. God alone can work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. The greatest gift from a willing heart of God was that He gave the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior willingly, voluntarily. God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Have we a willing heart tonight? We certainly need the Lord to stir it up. The offerings for the tabernacle was marked by a willingness. The work for the tabernacle was marked by wise hearts. You look at chapter 36, verse 4, and it says, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. Look at the chapter 35, our own chapter here in verse 25, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands. The wise-hearted wasn't only for the men. Thank God there's wise women. This again is something that is given by God. You just think for a moment of Bezalel. And those that were with him, you read of him, verse 31, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship. Verse 35, them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. God gave them that wisdom from above that James speaks about. There's the wisdom of the world, but it's no good for the work of God. And in a gospel application, we can say that we could never know enough to be accepted by God. Here were men that we have read that they were endowed with wisdom of heart. We could never know enough to be accepted by the Lord. But through the offering of Christ, God has abounded toward us in all wisdom, Ephesians 1 and the words of verse 8. And he has granted us redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Men and women, may we in turn then display the willing and the wise heart for the work of God. And what he has given us as a steward. There is the directives. There is the collectiveness. And I want you to see the effectiveness as well. Because when Bezalel and Aholib started to work, they brought a very encouraging report. I've got to turn you over to chapter 36 again, verse 5 this time. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. The offering was more than adequate for the task. Their stewardship was effective. Effective in terms of the amount. So effective that the command to stop had to be sounded throughout the camp. I read in verse 6, and Moses gave commandment that they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Isn't that amazing? The command that went out had to be, don't bring any more. The stuff was sufficient. Too much. God had so aroused the people to give, instead of the leader requesting more, he had to instruct them now to cease. For a good illustration of Acts 20, verse 35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you know, dear people, this abnormal giving, it should be more common among the people of God today. When our giving is led, when our giving is guided by God, it will not only reflect the willingness of God's heart, but it will also reflect his overflowing heart as well. I would that you would come to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I've already read from it, but come and notice a wee verse here. Look this time at the words of verse 7. It says, every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. You see the word cheerful there? In the Greek it is hilaros. It's actually where we get the English word hilarious from. When we delight to give ourselves unto the Lord, then it will not have to be coerced. It will not have to be squeezed out of us. It will be bursting forth. And God's offering of Christ for the work of atonement, just like the giving of this people in Israel at this time, it was sufficient. Christ's offering for the work of atonement was sufficient. It was more than enough to satisfy God. It was more than enough to defeat Satan and his plan. It was more than enough for your justification and for mine to take care of our sinful past. It was more than enough for our sanctification to take care of our present. It was more than enough and sufficient for our glorification to take care of the future. And it was more, it was a binding. The purpose of the tabernacle was realized. For it was constructed. And the gifts of the people weren't in vain. If you just read with me Exodus 39. You look at the words, this last two verses, verse 42. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them. Just consider that tabernacle. A tabernacle that God commanded was to be made, and all the materials and all the pieces that were for that tabernacle would be the centerpiece of worship throughout their wilderness wanderings. Wherever they went, it went. When the cloudy pillar stopped, it stopped. And the tabernacle was set up. And it would continue to be the focal gathering point even after they crossed over the River Jordan and into the Promised Land. You see, men and women, what is given in the will of God and what is given for His glory will not only be enough, but it will last. It will live on in the work of God. Your labors, mine, can have an impact for a long, many a day to come. Just listen to some young men or women as they give a word of testimony, and how often do you hear of the speaking of a faithful Sunday school teacher or children's worker? And if we consider Christ, His offerings weren't in vain. For on the cross, the purposes of God were fulfilled, and the purpose of God was accomplished, and Christ cried, "Finished!" He finished the work. He finished the work. It was done as the Father had commanded Him. Christ died to save sinners, and He has saved sinners, and He continues to save sinners. Until every last one of His will be gathered in, and the redeemed around the throne will fall down and worship, and they will cry, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Until then, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Men and women, may our stewardship have the same effectiveness in these days. Is the Lord directing you? I certainly can say, as a collective, the Lord has a work for to be done. May God give us the willing hearts. Stir up our spirit even in these days to do it. I pray the Lord will bless even those few thoughts to our hearts as we've considered that chapter. Don't forget what Israel were. They were a stubborn people. A rebellious people who have just come away from, as it were, the worshipping of a golden calf, and yet their hearts now are made willing. God alone can do that. God alone can give us the wisdom in which to do His work as well. May the Lord bless His word. for Christ's sake and his eternal glory.